morning. Acts, the book of Acts in your New Testament. Find that scripture, chapter number 22. The book of Acts, chapter 22. If you go to the Gospels at the beginning there and turn to your right, you'll come to the book of Acts. Find chapter 22 this morning. And I'll give you just a second to find it, and then we will stand, if you're able to, in honor of God's Word. We'll read about six verses together. You follow along as I read Acts 22, beginning in verse 22. So let's stand together in honor of God's Word, and we'll bring it up in verse number 22. This is talking about Paul now. And they gave him audience unto this word, that's the word Gentiles, and then lifted up their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was free born." I want you to notice the statement that the chief captain made: "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." I'd like to speak to you on the subject, never forget the sum of freedom. Never forget the sum of freedom. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for our nation. Thank you, God, for the freedoms that we have left in this country to worship you, to serve you. And Lord, we know that we're in trouble. But let's not forget all the years that many of us have enjoyed living freely and what it costs. So, Father, would you bless our time in your word this morning? Speak to our hearts as only you can. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I don't suppose any of us ever met Antonio Moore. But because of him and how many thousands like him, we live free. We know God's hand's in it all. We get that. We understand that. But without the men and women who've served in our armed forces, we wouldn't have what we have today in the way of freedom. What we just watched was the dignified transfer of an enlisted man in the United States Army who lost his life while in the service of our country. This type of ceremony happens far too often. That takes place at Dover Air Force Base, Dover, Delaware. It takes place in the middle of the night, like we just saw there. Morning, noon, afternoon. Whenever that plane, let's see, I believe it's a C-7, whenever that plane arrives with a body or bodies of those who've lost their lives overseas, the little box is called a transfer case. And they take that transfer case, place it in that van, and then the van takes it off to a funeral home where it's put in, the body's put in a regular casket, and they go to meet the family. And I wouldn't even show you a video about that. It gets very, very emotional. As I said a moment ago, that's the price of freedom. In our text this morning, Paul had finished his third missionary journey. He'd gone to Jerusalem to be there for a certain feast day and went to the temple. And when he went to the temple, it created an absolute uproar. The Jews were mobbing Paul with the intention of killing him. And the Roman chief captain heard that a riot was brewing at the temple. And he came with his soldiers, sent his centurion and the soldiers there to restore order. So the chief captain got Paul secured in his company and was actually leading Paul away to safety. And Paul asked, this is in the previous chapter, Paul asked, "Can I address this mob of Jewish people?" And the chief captain granted him permission to do so. And Paul pled his case with the Hebrew people in their native language. And when he started speaking in Hebrew, they all just stopped and listened because he's speaking in their native tongue. And they listened intently until he got to the word Gentiles. And you find that in verse number 21. He said, God told me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And when he used the word Gentiles, they went crazy. There was bedlam broke out in the temple. And verse number 24, they came and they got Paul out of there. And the chief captain said, you bring him to the castle. And I'm going to interrogate him because there's got to be some reason. He's done something that makes all these Jewish people that mad. There had to be an explanation. And he was going to get that out of Paul. And so, verse number 25, they bound him with thongs. They were going to scourge him. He was going to scourge Paul in order to find out why did they respond like that? What have you done? You're hiding something. So they bound him, and in verse number 25, we won't read it, but Paul said to them in verse number 25 there, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Paul was a Roman citizen, and because he was a Roman citizen, it gave Paul certain privileges, one of which was the principle of being innocent until proven guilty. That had to happen. And so a Roman citizen was entitled by law to that protection. It was a crime to bind an innocent Roman citizen. It was an unpardonable crime to have an innocent citizen beaten. So what this chief captain was about to do, it was going to cost him and his soldiers their commissions. And so when the centurion in charge of scourging Paul found out that he was a Roman citizen, he went to the centurion, he went to the chief captain, and he told him to be careful. You better watch what you're doing here. This man is a Roman citizen. You better be careful, because he's a Roman. And the chief captain, in verse 27, came to Paul. He said, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. And the chief captain in verse number 28 made that unbelievable statement, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. You know what the chief captain was saying, folks? I was not born a Roman citizen. I have purchased my freedom. And it cost me dearly. He purchased his citizenship and all the rights and privileges that came with it. He paid the sum. It was a great sum. It cost him a princely fee to become a free citizen of the Roman Empire. Now, the truth is, whether you are born a citizen in a free land or you purchased your citizenship coming from another country, the sum of freedom is costly. The cost of freedom is one that is of great price. And I'm speaking this morning to a room full of freeborn American citizens. And as American citizens, we are endowed with certain inalienable rights that guarantee our freedoms. I understand our constitutional freedoms are under attack. And in some cases, they're being taken from us. And that concerns us greatly. But today, people, I am not looking at the present. I am not looking ahead as much as I am looking back. All of us who are citizens, all of us who are freeborn, need to remember that our freedom was purchased with a great sum. You just saw it right there. Purchased at great cost. I'm looking around the room at people who we've lived in freedom all of our life. Unless you immigrated here from a socialist country, you have lived free. And how blessed we have been to live free. How blessed. You know, freedom is expensive because it's purchased with blood. That's what the red in that flag stands for. There are always those tyrants, those dictators, those ruthless men who would bring everyone under their dominion, everyone under their control if they could. And some have tried, Hitler. But willing men and willing women paid the ultimate price to keep people free. And folks, that price is not cheap. Not cheap. Because we have been freeborn. And because our freedom has been purchased at such a great sum, you know what responsibility lies on us? Well, several. But one of those responsibilities is not to forget that many people have laid down their life so we could be free. We dare not forget that. I'm glad there's a Memorial Day. I've said before on Veterans Day, I've never had to crawl in a foxhole. I've never had to crawl with bullets whizzing over my head. Or watch my buddy jump on a grenade and take the entire explosion for him, on himself to protect his friends in the fox. I never witnessed that. I've come and I've gone. I've bought and sold. I've gone to school. I've graduated. I've married, birthed children, and now grandchildren in complete freedom because somebody paid the price for it. We don't want to forget. I make no apology for turning this Sunday morning into a message that reminds us that as freeborn American citizens, we have a great responsibility to remember the price that was paid for our freedom. We need to be like the men of Jabesh Gilead. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 31. Turn back to the Old Testament just for a moment or two. 1 Samuel chapter 31. And look with me here at a passage of Scripture. It's incredible. About the men of Jabesh Gilead. Now, what's happened in 1 Samuel 31 is Saul and his three sons have been slain by the Philistines. Okay? So Saul was the king. And he had some problems, no doubt about it. He's been slain. He was killed in the field of battle. And his three sons died with him in the same field of battle. In the same field of battle. And you look at verse number 8, chapter 31, 1 Samuel. It came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul with his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Now notice this. They cut off his head, stripped him of his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. So they took the head of Saul and his sons, sent them around the area controlled by the Philistines so that they could all rejoice in the death of King Saul and his three sons. All rejoice. And they took the bodies, and they put the bodies in the house of their idols. Put them up there in the house of their idols. Now look at verse number 11. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men, I like that phrase right there, the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. They took it out of the house of their idols. And came to Jabesh and burnt them there, and they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Those men, why would they do this? Why would they risk their lives for men who are already dead? Why would they do that? Why would they go and put themselves in danger to take this, excuse me for being graphic, but to take these headless bodies? Headless bodies off the wall of the temple of their idols, the Philistines' idolatrous gods, and then take them back to Jabesh and give them a proper burial. Why would they do that? Well, you find the answer back in chapter 11. You turn to 1 Samuel chapter 11 in your Bible, and you'll understand here in just a moment, if it's new to you, why the men of Jabesh Gilead did it. We don't have time this morning to read the entire passage. I'll just highlight it for you, but you'll find it here beginning actually in verse number 1. And let me just summarize it this way. The Ammonites came against the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead. Now, Jabesh Gilead was a place where Jewish people lived, Hebrews, Israelites. And the Ammonites came for the purpose of taking them and their village captive. And at first, the men of Jabesh Gilead, they attempted to make a peace treaty with the enemy. People, you don't make peace with the enemy. I wish somebody in Washington, D.C. administration would understand that. You have to conquer the enemy. You know what the Ammonites said? They laughed at him. They felt like their victory was so certain. They said, okay, we'll make a peace treaty with you. Here's what's involved. We're going to take out all your right eyes. And then we'll make a peace treaty with you. I would imagine that the vast majority of people in this room, your dominant eye is your right eye. That means if you shoot a gun, you shoot it with your right eye. On the right side of your, you shoot it this way. If you shoot a bow, you shoot it with your right hand. Your right eye is your dominant eye. Once in a while, people's left eye is their dominant. I remember Caleb Hansen was here. His left eye was a dominant eye. He used a right-handed shotgun. I said, Caleb, how do you do that with your left eye dominant? He said, I just put my eye over there and shoot it like that. So what were the Philistines doing by taking out the right eyes of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead? They were basically rendering them ineffective when it comes to war. They're taking their dominant eye out. Said, yeah, we'll make peace with you. You give us your right eye, and we won't kill you. Well, King Saul, he had just been anointed king. I mean, he was just a king a short while. And he heard about this, and he said, you know what? This is not happening. And so he got an army from the nation of Israel, an army of men, and he led those men into battle, and he soundly defeated the Ammonites. In fact, you can read about it. The Ammonite army was so badly defeated and scattered that the Bible says that two of them were not left together. That means you couldn't find two Ammonite soldiers together in the whole country. They routed them. Saul led that attack. And guess what? The men of Jabesh-Gilead never forgot Saul's kindness to them. They never forgot. Years later, when they heard that Saul's headless body was hanging in the house of the Philistines' idols, they said what Saul said years before. That's not happening. They went and recovered the bodies. They gave them a proper burial. We'll never forget. And people, it is only right and moral that we remember how many thousands have died to purchase and or protect our freedom over these years. And I know, you know, it's difficult now because I cannot recommend the military to saved men. I can't do that, but I'm not going to let that. I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not going to let that justify me forgetting that the freedoms I've enjoyed for 64 years were purchased at a great sum. A great sum. We should not forget. It's meant that the battle for freedom had to be fought on distant soil and in distant waters. You know that's true. Whatever the cost, freedom is worth it. Whatever the cost, freedom is worth it. And what we should do is not forget. And when 9/11 took place, now you saw that everywhere. We will not forget. We will not forget. That was 20 years ago this September. A lot of young people weren't even alive when it happened. And a lot of the rest of us that were have forgotten. And I'm glad there's a Memorial Day to bring to our attention that people have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, the sum of which we should never, ever forget. Never, ever forget. You walk into a store, a veteran is checking out at the cashier's, buying a few items, pay for them. If nothing else, stop him and say, thank you for serving our country. Well, I don't know if he was in battle. Doesn't matter. Battle or peacetime. You can't thank those who paid the ultimate price. We can thank those who served and came home. Let me say this morning that there was another great cost. that was paid to purchase a different freedom for us. And I don't need to show you a video clip to remind you of that price. You only have to look behind me here on the wall. Take a look at that. That wooden figure back there is a reminder that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price to purchase our spiritual freedom. And He paid that price on the cross. The freedom He purchased for us was not from physical bondage, but it was from spiritual bondage. Bondage to sin. Bondage to Satan. The worst taskmaster in all of history. Sin and Satan. And you and I born into bondage to sin and Satan. And our disobedience placed us in that bondage. And Christ's obedience to His Father's will on the cross of Calvary paid the debt that we owed for our sin. What a song Charlotte just sang. We were the guilty. He was the innocent one. Somehow we ended up being the taker. He ended up being the giver. Did you hear the words of the choir song this morning? I think it's in that second verse, and I don't quote it exactly, but Lord, when I pause to think of all that You lost and all that I gained because You paid the price for our salvation. Jesus purchased our freedom from sin's penalty, sin's power, and sin's presence. The price of our freedom was a great sum. We sing that song, Saved by the Blood, great price of our pardon, His own precious Son. I watched a video clip this week of an airplane after they had transferred the body from the transfer case to a coffin, and then a domestic airliner flew that coffin to, I think it was San Diego, California, where this deceased person's hometown. And the loved ones gathered on the tarmac. And that coffin came off the airplane. One of those family members broke loose from the crowd, wailing, and no, 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 and fell on the casket. It was her son. Don't forget that Jesus is God's Son. His only begotten Son. Great price of our pardon. His own precious Son. His blood was shed, His life was given, so that all men could be free indeed from sin and Satan. And you know what, church? We should never forget. You know, we have a spiritual Memorial Day. Do you know we have one? It's called the Lord's Supper. We observe it four times a year here. You know what we do at the Lord's Supper? We what? Remember. Take this bread. Eat it. And when you do that, this do it in what? Remembrance of Me. Take this juice. Drink it. It represents My blood. And when you drink it, do it in remembrance of Me. That ordinance is designed to remind us that Jesus gave His body and shed His blood for our spiritual freedom. And the least we can do is not forget. Not forget. You know, the least we can do for the people who paid the ultimate price like Antonio Moore did for our physical freedom is to live with their sacrifice in mind. And the least we can do for our Savior who paid the ultimate price for our spiritual freedom is to live for Him, remembering His sacrifice for our salvation. Once in a while, somebody sings the song here with these lyrics in the second verse. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with My Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever, as all the saved can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is My statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free, unashamed. I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. And I'll not forget the sum of my freedom, both physically and spiritually. Don't forget. Never forget the sum of your freedom. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Before I pray, I'd like to ask just a couple of questions here. Thank you for your attention. Just to ask, as you think and ponder on the message that was just preached, the truth in it, let me just ask, just to think with me on this while your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Are you saved? Have you been liberated spiritually? If you live in this country, you're free physically. You're a free American citizen. That's wonderful. But are you free spiritually? Have you been freed from the bondage of sin and Satan? Are you free? Have you been saved? If you died right now, do you know that heaven is your home? For sure, for a Bible reason. Not hope so, not think so, not maybe so, but I know so. Is that your testimony? I wonder this morning who would be able to say, Pastor Angel, I know I'm saved. There's been a time in my life when I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and I have a Bible reason for my salvation, and I know I'm on my way to heaven. Could I see your hand this morning just as a testimony to that? Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you. I wonder if there might be one today that would say, Brother Angel, I can't say that. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. How is it with you this morning? Is there anyone here? I'm not asking you to join Faith Baptist Church. This is not about becoming a Baptist. This is a simple question. If you're not sure that you're saved, can I at least just pray for you generically as I close in just a moment? Not by name. Not by name. If there's one here or more and you're not sure you're saved, would you at least be honest with God this morning in front of God? You at least raise your hand and say, by raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know for sure. Is that you? Could I see your hand this morning? Would you be honest about it? Just slip it up, take it right back down. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm born again. All right? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And I would like to invite you, if you don't know you're saved, to come right down here. This man is standing. And just tell him, I'd like to know how to be saved. And have somebody come with you if you want to. Somebody can take a Bible, men to men, ladies to ladies, and show you how to be saved this morning before you leave. You can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I do hope that you'll come. How about the rest of us today? Memorial Day weekend. May we not forget those who paid the price for our physical freedom. We don't know their names. But there have been empty chairs at kitchen tables for years and years because they paid the ultimate price for freedom. And may we not forget the price Christ paid on the cross of Calvary. Father, I thank you for our country. I thank you for the freedom that we enjoy nationally here. We are concerned. It's under attack. But Lord, we met in freedom this morning and we're grateful. We're also grateful for the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ because he died for us. I pray, Lord, for these that don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Not sure that they're saved. I pray that today Jesus Christ would become their Savior, that you'd draw them to Jesus even this morning, and that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach about this subject this morning. May we never forget the great sum of our freedoms, both physical and spiritual. I ask in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together as the music begins to play. This morning, if you're not sure you're saved, why don't you come and let this man right here just step out into the aisle. That's right. God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. We'll have somebody come and show you this morning how you can know for sure that you're saved. That's great. Praise the Lord for that. If you're here to be baptized, you come this morning. We're ready to see. I believe we have some for believers' baptism. Come ahead. While we wait this morning. That's wonderful.
you ride by a cemetery on your way home in just a little while, take a look at all those flags out there. It reminds us that a great price has been paid for us to live in this country free. May we never take that for granted. May we be thankful for it. I was freeborn. I wasn't. It cost me dearly to obtain this freedom. You and I were freeborn. It cost somebody dearly for us to be free. Would you come this morning if you're not sure that you're saved? Love to take a Bible, lead you to Christ, and then that you'd have that spiritual freedom that Jesus came to provide for all folks. My Father, I thank you again for this special weekend and this particular Sunday morning for these dear people who've come today to be in the service. Challenge our hearts with the truth from your word. Thank you for our country. Bless it. Help it. Please. And Lord, help us not to forget the price that's been paid for our freedoms, physical and spiritual. In Jesus' name, amen.